1 Timothy from verse 12 through to 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen.
I want to ask a question as we kick off tonight. Has anyone ever said something to you or about you that's completely changed the way you think about yourself? Could be positive, could be negative. They might inform you about a little bit. It could even be an encouragement, and it just changes the way you view yourself. It's happened to me a few times. None of them really that great. The first one, when I was in high school, I wasn't really that into school and learning and growing myself as a human. And I never really had that whole respect thing going with the teachers that I should have had. But weirdly enough, God likes to work in full circles, and he brought me around to the point where I was a scripture teacher at the high school I grew up in. And I remember so vividly being in the playground, getting really nervous about my first lesson, and this kid came up to me and he said, "Excuse me, sir." I was like, "Sir?" I think it was the first time in my life anyone had called me sir, and I thought, I have the power. I am in charge. So I put the kid on detention. He never spoke to me again. A great witness from the scripture teacher. It just changed the way I thought about myself. I came in feeling really nervous and unsure, and then I thought, hold on, I've got the power. The bigger, more heartbreaking one for me was when I was in early high school. I had no idea about my vocal capacities as an artist. And me and my close group of friends, one of them was a ridiculously good guitarist. He plays guitar for a job now. Another one was a drummer, and then there was a bassist as well. So we formed a band, right? And having no instrument that I could play, I naturally took singing as my role in this band that was going to change the world. And we actually had the opportunity. We just learned a few covers, and we actually recorded a song, right? Right, this was like year 7 or year 8, and we actually recorded a song. And I remember walking out after doing my lyrics, feeling like a boss because I was in like year 8, and I just recorded a song like a hero. And the recording dude took me aside, and he's like, "Can I just talk to you?" Before I'd even listened to it, and he goes, "Mate, you can't sing." And my revelation of who I was just broke into pieces. Like, my future up until that point was the front man of like a world famous band, like leading the way of music into the next century. Anyway, it completely changed how I viewed myself. Sometimes people can say things to us that change the way we think about ourselves, the way we feel about ourselves, how we evaluate ourselves and figure out our own worth. And my prayer is tonight that God would speak to us so loudly and so clearly that he would change the way we think about our very selves. That we would be so caught up in God's words of comfort tonight that it would change the way we evaluate our life, our worth, and who we are. That we'd no longer understand who we are based on our own evaluation, but based on the way that God views us and God sees us. And I pray, and my prayer for tonight has been that we would be so refreshed in our souls as we hear about how God views us and as he turns us around to viewing ourselves in that very same way. I wonder if you'd join me that we pray that exactly that would happen. Lord, thank you so much that you look upon all your people with love, Lord, with a deep longing for relationship. Lord, thank you that we are not defined by our past. And Lord, we just want to come before you, some of us full of energy and excitement, some of us with weary souls. And we just want to ask that we would understand how you see us. And Lord, that we would no longer define ourselves by how we see ourselves, but we would define ourselves by how you see us. Lord, we pray that you would refresh us, that you would re-energize us, that you would rebuild us today through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you've ever had a moment in your life where you kind of were able to breathe a big sigh of relief, kind of like, oh, everything is all right. I had one of these not that long ago. It was actually a while ago now. But it happened in all different situations, right? You might have just got some results back from the doctor. You could have been really nervous. And he says, everything's going to be all right. And you go, oh. Maybe for the HSC students, anyone finished? Anyone here? A few. Did you do a big, then, you know, bonfire with all your books in it and everything? I had one of these moments straight after my HSC. It wasn't when the last exam was done. It was when we went out to celebrate our last exam being done. Me and my group of friends, we had a thing we liked to do, which was find a really high rock above water and then jump off that rock into water. And so this is actually one that we went to that very day. This is called Jockey's Cap. What you can't see in that picture is that there is actually a hole just to the right of where that guy's standing. And that hole just goes down into like death. Just lots of rocks, lots of dying if you fall down there. It's 21 meters high, that one. So if you want to put that in perspective, if you looked at right up to the very peak of the roof up there, just a little bit shorter than that. So there's a massive rock jump. And we worked our way up to it. There should have been some signs along the way. The one that's 9 meters shorter than it next to it, that's called Suicides. And then you go up to Jockey's Cap. And because there's a hole, what you have to do is you have to run, jump the hole, run again, and then push off as hard as you can because there's rocks to your left and underneath you, right? It's stupid, okay? I was 18. Don't judge me. What happened was I mistimed my run. And I've just nudged my toe as I went over the hole and jumped off my right foot instead of my left and gone towards the rocks on the left. And I'm falling, and I had a lot of time to evaluate my life choices at that point in time, right? I'm looking at these rocks going, I don't know if I'm going to hit them or not. And if I hit them, it's 21 meters. Like, that's at least, like, in a wheelchair for the rest of your life, more than likely death. And one of my mates is sitting on the rock down there, and he's looking up at me like, oh, like that. And I was so lucky that I ended up falling, if this was a rock, like this next to the rock, and I saw it scream past my face, and I remember being under the water going, in my head, because I would have died if I did that underwater. But I remember just that sense of relief that my whole life was at risk. Everything was going wrong. I was going towards an impact. Everything could have just changed in that moment where my life was heading was bad. And then I just had that moment of relief. Everything is okay. Everything is better. To understand the feeling of relief, to understand refreshment and the renewal and the excitement of coming out the other end of something, you need to have a full, realistic understanding of where you're coming from. If I didn't comprehend while I was in the air that there was death on the line at that point, there would have been no relief when I came out of the water. If I went in the other direction, away from the rocks, there wouldn't have been no big moment of relief. But because I knew there was a distinct danger and distinct possibility of death, the relief was big and the relief was life-changing. It's the same with our spiritual walk with God. Unless we know where we're coming from and the danger that we can be in, we will not know the relief of the forgiveness and the love and the joy that can be found in Christ. Unless we know where we're coming from and the danger that we're in, we won't know what it is to be renewed and be refreshed and to be rebuilt in God and to be able to have that moment spiritually where we can have that sigh of relief. And as Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, he did exactly that. He understood where he was coming from, the danger of his past. He says this about himself in verse 13 and then in verse 15. Even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor and a violent man. And then he says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. As Paul evaluates himself, as Paul figures out who he is, he recounts his past. And it's not a very good past from the perspective of a Christian because he actually murdered Christians for being Christians. He was violent and he chucked people in prison just because they said Jesus is God. He would persecute anyone and everyone who believed in Jesus. He made it his full-time job to try to stop the message of Jesus from spreading further and further and further, imprisoning and murdering people for believing in Jesus. Of sinners, he says, I am the worst. Paul knows his past. Paul knows where he's coming from. Paul knows the danger that he was in. And there's a heaviness to his self-assessment as he writes to Timothy saying, I was a sinner. I was the worst of sinners. And I wonder what would happen if you were to write an evaluation of yourself in the same way. If you were to write a letter to someone younger in the church and talk about yourself and where you've come from, what would you say about yourself? It's easy to read Paul and think, yeah, Paul's horrible. He's a murderer. He, you know, persecuted people. He pushed against Jesus. He denied that Jesus was God. But what would it be for you? If you were to write a letter to someone younger to try to tell them about your journey, about the danger, and what would it be? I'm imagining, and it's just a guess, that people in this room aren't going to recount the time they killed a Christian for being a Christian. But what is it? It might not be blasphemy that was the problem or violence that was a problem. Maybe it was lust. Maybe gossip, maybe porn, maybe anger, maybe pride, selfishness. Maybe it's holding on to the things that God's given you to hand out to others and being selfish. Maybe it's addiction. What would you say if you were writing this letter as Paul wrote this letter? His sins were obvious, his sins were big, his sins were large and very public. What would it be if yours was honest and made open and made public? What would your letter to Timothy look like? What does proper, sober, real judgment of your situation look like as you would write out your life? The Bible gives us a pretty straight up answer. All have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. The passage said that Jesus came to save sinners. Well, what does that even mean? What are we being saved from? And Keith spoke about this perfectly this morning, so I'm just going to say what he said. We're giving two commands from Jesus. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love others above yourself. Any time that we fail to do either one of those things, even for a second, we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Any time we didn't love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, we ended up in the exact same place as Paul, as he writes about persecuting Christians. Any time we didn't love others above ourselves, we find ourselves in the exact same place. And Jesus talks about saving us because that sin puts us in a dangerous position. That sin is like running up and jumping off that rock edge, heading straight towards the rocks at the bottom. Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. What is he saving us from? Well, in the book of Romans, it says this, just as people are destined to die once, after that they are to face judgment. God's pretty clear that if we have that sin in our life, if we have that past, if we're like Paul and we're writing down our life and we can just recount sin after sin after sin, that we are all going to face judgment, and the judgment for that sin will be death. There is judgment coming for every single one of us. We are like a people who have all together run and jump off the cliff in the wrong direction, heading towards complete destruction. But it's only once we know the situation we're coming from that we can find true, joyful refreshment and renewal in God. Only once we know that we're heading in the wrong direction can we know it doesn't end there, and we know the fullness of the joy that can be found in Jesus. This is what Paul says. This is what Paul says in that same letter. I thank Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. I believe as Paul says this, the weight of his message isn't on the sin that he just talked about. The weight of his message is on the refreshment and the joy of saying, hey, I've had mercy put on me. Jesus had mercy on me and he's poured out grace in abundance, more than I could need. There's been more grace than I could ever need poured out on me. There's joy and there's excitement and there's refreshment and there's a deep breath and a sigh of relief. As Paul says, I have found forgiveness. I have found grace. I have found a way out of this falling down towards the rocks. Why? Well, here is a trustworthy saying. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, to save the people heading in the wrong direction, to save the people that need it, to save those who once have been saved can take that breath, take that sigh of relief and move forward. I love that he talks about mercy and grace, because they come together so much, but they're actually incredibly different things. See, when God has mercy, God is taking from us what we deserve, or not giving to us what we deserve. We deserve punishment. We deserve to hit those rocks at the bottom. We deserve the judgment that is to come when we die. And God says, no, 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 I'm going to have mercy on you, and I'm not going to put that judgment upon you. I'm going to set you free from that judgment, set you free from that punishment. Mercy is not giving you what you deserve to be given. It's not giving you the punishment set before you because of your own sin. Yet you have grace, which is kind of on the opposite end, which is actually giving you something that you don't deserve. See, we don't deserve to be set free from the punishment of our sin. That's mercy. We don't deserve to have things poured out on us in abundance. And he goes on to say that we're given faith, we're given love, we're called the dearly loved children of God. Not only has God saved you from the punishment, saved you from the collision at the bottom that's the result of your sin, but he's actually given you so much love, so much grace, relationship, and eternity in heaven. There is mercy and there is grace. He goes on to say that the very faith that we need for this salvation is given to him as well. That love is given to him. There is grace poured out abundantly. This is your reality. This is who you are today. You are not the culmination and the sum of all of your sins. You are someone dearly loved by God who has been given mercy, who has been shown grace poured out on them abundantly. That is who you are. You're not the one falling towards the rocks out of control because of your sin. No, you're the one standing on the rock that is Jesus Christ with your feet fixed firm because he says he loves you and he has sacrificed himself for you. No matter the sin, no matter the past, no matter the chaos that you've come from, in Christ you can stop, you can take a breath, and you can relax into the joy of knowing that he has come to save sinners. And you might be like me and you feel like you can say along with Paul, of which I am the worst. This is the breath of fresh air. This is the refreshment for our weary souls. This is God's grace being poured out in abundance. It's all sealed. It's all secure. The dust is settled. You can look around, take stock and go, I'm loved. I am saved. I'm forgiven. I'm cared for. I'm made pure. I'm God's child. My eternity is sorted. Because when Jesus had mercy on us, the punishment for our sin didn't disappear. It was taken from us but put on him. As Jesus died the death that we deserved, and in grace offered relationship after he rose again, our sin dies with him. The old way of defining ourselves dies with him. And as he rises again 3 days later, we rise again in new, brand new life with Jesus. As we sang before, we will rise. And as we rise, we don't rise as people still labeled as sinners. We rise as people labeled as loved, as cared for, as secure with hope. We read that little part from Romans that just talked about the judgment coming. But if you read it in its full context, it says this. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. He'll take away a second. He'll appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation. Jesus has taken away your sin as far as the east is from the west. So your sin has been separated from you. You are no longer your past. You are no longer your sin. You are no longer the wrongs that you have done. You are God's. You are loved. You are saved. You have your feet fixed firmly on the ground, the solid ground of Jesus and his sacrifice and his love for you. This is not just what has happened to you because of Jesus. This is who you are. The question we're asking is, how do you evaluate yourself? Do you evaluate yourself by the maths you do in your head of the good things and the wrong things that you've done? Or do you evaluate yourself by what God says to you, which is, I love you, I've had grace on you, you're saved, you are secure? This is what 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, and I love this passage. For our sake, he made him to be sin. Talking about Jesus. For our sake, he made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Become the righteousness of God. It's not a matter of that's going to be the future goal. You have become the righteousness of God because Jesus has become your sin. Jesus decided, I will take your sin and I will give you righteousness. And yes, we've got to grow in that righteousness and move forward in that righteousness and wait for the day when it will be 100% full. But you are the righteousness of God. When you stand before God on the day when Jesus returns, you're not marred by your sins. You're not covered in the darkness of your past. No, you stand in the light and the love of Jesus Christ. Secure, safe. Sin is who you were. Righteousness is who you are in Jesus Christ. How do you think God looks at you? How do you think God's heart feels as he looks down on you and your life? Is it bitter to you? Is it anger? Is it judgment? Or is it refreshment and joy knowing that he loves you and he cares about you and he wants nothing more than a relationship with you? See, the Spirit of God wants to reveal to you tonight who you really are. Yet Satan, all he wants to do is constantly remind you of who you were before you met Jesus, before his sacrifice was taken in your place. We don't turn up on here on every Sunday so we can be reminded of our bad sin and feel bad so we can walk out feeling down. No, we come here every Sunday to be reminded of the hope and the joy and the grace and the renewal that we have because Jesus died in our place and sent his Spirit so we can know freedom. This whole series is about being refreshed in the Lord, to be rebuilt in the Lord, to be excited and rejuvenated and to take that breath knowing that everything is sorted. We can stop and go, I'm no longer my sin. I belong to God. I am God. I am saved. I don't just know that. That is who I am. That is what defines me. And the Bible stresses this again and again and again. And I've always read one of my other favorite parts of the Bible, Romans 8:1, that says, there is no condemnation for those in Jesus Christ. I always read that as like an aggressive proclamation of there is no condemnation for those in Christ. But as I read this, and I'm sure you can do it both ways, I hear it in a quiet whisper of there is no condemnation. Yes, I've fallen. Yes, I've failed. Yes, I've fallen short of the glory of God again and again. But there is no condemnation. I am safe. I am secure. My feet are on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. My life is in his hands. And it's not about how big or how dirty my sin is. It's about how great, how large, and how overwhelming the sacrifice of Jesus is. Shame wants to discount your worth, but grace says to you, it's not what you have done, but what Jesus did. The power of God's grace should be enough to overpower your shame. I wonder if you can write with Paul. Of sinners, I was the worst. But God has poured out his grace, his mercy, his love and forgiveness on me. I wonder if in that you can find refreshment and excitement and joy in your soul, knowing that you walk out of here in the love of Christ. And that is who we are. I was thinking for a while about how to kind of land this and what the application should be. But I wonder if the application of knowing this is just simply what God promises that we can't understand, the peace that transcends all understanding. That no matter the chaos of your week, no matter the chaos of your workplace, of your family, of the sicknesses around you, of the hard things in your life, no matter what else is happening, that you know who you are in Jesus so you can have that peace that transcends all understanding. I feel like it's only in Christ that we can have that peace. Paul says that he's saved for a purpose. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. In the grace and the forgiveness, we're given a mission and we're given a purpose and we're given something to go out to do, which Paul is doing here. But tonight, I don't want us to concentrate on that. I want us to concentrate on our souls and ask ourselves, how is your soul? Do you feel renewed in the Lord? If not tonight, do you need to once again lay that sin at the feet of Jesus and lift your head up above the water and take a breath, knowing that absolutely everything in your past is wiped clean, pure, white, perfect? Do you need to look forward to the day that Jesus comes, not with fear of condemnation, but knowing there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? For those who Jesus sets free are free indeed. Our feet are back on the rock. We're not falling. We're not in chaos. We're not filled with worry or fear. No, but we have peace that transcends all understanding, knowing who we are, fully accepted, loved, had mercy and grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you live your life evaluating yourself by your own judgment, or will you trust the God that created you and live your life evaluating yourself by His judgment, by His looking upon you with love and care and offering you peace and stability? Our aim today isn't some amazing application that's external and go out and change the world. Our aim today is simply, how is your soul? Do you feel refreshed, renewed, knowing that nothing can separate you, neither height nor depth, nor angel or demon, nothing in all of creation can separate you from the love that is in Christ Jesus? No matter how high you felt like you were falling from, you have landed safely in the arms of grace. And from this day till all of eternity, we can rest knowing we are loved and we are secure and we are saved. We're going to sing in a second about what we talked about earlier, that yes, our past is full of sin, and yes, that might have been how we defined ourselves, but we die to our sin as Christ died on the cross. Yet our God did not stay dead. Our God rose again. 3 days later, He rose from the grave and He broke open the gates so that we might live. Not live in fear, not live in desperation, not live like we're still falling, but live with our feet firmly pressed on Jesus, living in the grace and the truth and the peace that transcends all understanding. We're going to sing, "In Christ I Will Live." And let that be the prayer for your heart.